Have. And so Mark chapter 6, I want you to have your Bible there, and I want you to stay with me a little bit this morning as I preach. Mark chapter 6 and look at verse number 45. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 45. Now, if you can remember, we've been in Mark chapter 6. I think this is the sixth message in just this chapter, if you count Sunday morning and Sunday evenings. We've been in Mark 6 now for at least 3 weeks. And last Sunday night, if you weren't here, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000. What a wonderful story! And those disciples were in on that, and they saw Jesus bless the five loaves and the two fishes, and he started to break it, and continually broke it and passed it out to probably 20, 30, maybe even 40,000 people that was there who were hungry. And the disciples, their fix for everything was just send them away and let them figure it out. And you know what? That would be good. That's kind of my mentality sometimes. Is, hey, just let them figure it out. And but you know what? Jesus had compassion. And he looked on the crowd and he said, no, I want to show them that I am God. And I want to show them that I am who I say I am. And that I'll feed them and have compassion on them. Well, we pick up in verse number 45. The Bible says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Now, constrained meaning that he commanded them. He told them, get in. He didn't suggest it to them. He didn't say, well, there's a ship. Now, if you want to, you can go over there and get in. He didn't say that. He constrained them to go to the ship. But hold on a second. And go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Notice that phrase. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region around about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, and where they heard he was. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the day you've given us. And Lord, I pray that as we preach under the anointing power of the Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you will help these folks not just be hearers of the Word, but doers. And Lord, hide me behind the cross. Empty me of self. Help us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I believe if we read this passage like we have in Mark chapter 6, we read a wonderful chapter in the story. There's so many things that we've been in and so many things that we look at. And in Mark chapter 6, we see another story where Jesus constrains His disciples to go into the ship and to go to the other side. And Jesus says, now disciples, I want you to go over there, but I want you to go to the other side there. There's a plan. Jesus said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to slip away and I'm going to go pray. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for these folks that I've had compassion on. And I'm just going to go up here alone and I'm going to pray. And you notice three times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus prays. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But Jesus loved to pray. He loved to pray by himself. And so he's praying. He constrains the disciples to go into that ship, tells them to go. But then right in the middle of their journey across the sea, a storm comes up. Now, don't you believe that Jesus knows everything? Of course he does. He's God in the flesh. And so Jesus constrains them to go into a ship only for them to go into a storm. Jesus sent them into the storm. You know what Jesus does that from time to time? Our Lord can send us through a storm. God can send us through something and we don't understand it. I met with a man this week in my office there and I just talked with him a little bit. And you know what? He mentioned about four or five things. And he said, "Preacher, I don't know, but it just seems like we're under fire. It just seems like we're going through such great difficulty and tribulation." And he says, "I just feel like I've been abandoned by God." And you know, I started thinking about that. Sir, you've not been abandoned by God. Sometimes He's closer in the storm than He is on top of the mountain. And I shared some stories. I even shared with him a little bit about Mark chapter 6 and told him that, hey, these disciples were actually commanded to go into the other side, go into the ship and go to the other side. You know, the first storm they encountered, Jesus was in the ship, right? Just a few chapters ago. Jesus was in the ship and He was down in the bottom. Y'all remember that? And the storm came out of nowhere like it does at the Sea of Galilee. And they go down there and they wake Jesus up. And they say, "Hey, don't you care about us? We're about to perish." And Jesus gets up and He commands the wind and then He rebukes them about their faith. This time, they're in the ship, but they're without Jesus. This time, the storm was a little different. This time, they thought they maybe were going to the other side and it was going to be smooth sailing. You know what this tells me? That Jesus is the one in whom we should have faith. We can't have faith in ourselves. We can't have faith in the ship. We can't have faith in any other tangible things. We can't have faith in somebody, but we can have faith in Jesus. Listen, we can have faith in other things, but it'll fail us. We can have faith, but it will fail us. But guess what? When we look to Jesus, He's the one that will never fail us. He's the one that will never disappoint us. And by the way, He's the one that will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus is praying. And He had just fed 15, 20,000 people. And there's excitement. You could imagine all the excitement that's going on. But there was several things that I want to give you this morning out of this text that I believe will help us as a church. The first thing I want you to notice is found in verse 45. If Jesus is the only one we should have faith, then there's a few things that we should know about this text. Look at verse 45. It says again in verse 45, "And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while He sent away the people." The first thing I want you to notice, and church, listen to me. These are very simple, but it'll help you. We are guided by His plans. We are guided by His plans. It was not the plan of the disciples to get into the ship. The disciples didn't look at the ship and say, "You know what? I believe there's the ship we need to get in. Let's just go. Jesus, do we have Your permission?" They didn't ask Jesus. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "I want you to go to the other side. I want you to get in this ship." Hey, we see that they're guided by His plans. I believe it was Charles Spurgeon that said, talking about this particular text, he said, "Their sailing was not merely under His sanction, but by His express command," meaning that Jesus commanded them to go to the ship. But notice what he said. They were in the right place, and yet they were met with a terrible storm. You ever, church, look at me. Have you ever been in the right place? You said, "Preacher, I am right with God. I am reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm faithful to church. I'm doing all the things that I should be doing." But then a storm comes. I thought Jesus told me, I thought God told me to go to that church. And He sends me to that church, and somebody sets it on fire. Now just 2 years ago, "Lord, You told me to go down here, but You didn't tell me that we were going to encounter that. You didn't tell me we were going to go through that. Lord, what are You doing?" Hey, it's His plan. God, You're the one that allowed me to have a baby. But why is it sick? Lord, you put me and my husband together, but why'd You take him away? His plans. You know, I'll say this about His plans. I'm thankful that it's not up to us. I'm thankful that it's not up to us. You know, I don't understand everything. There's some things I just don't understand. It's been a week just dealing with problems and trials, and I went down Friday and talked with Cindy and prayed with Gerald. And I walked inside the room. Me and Rebecca went down there. And there was something different about this time than there was other times. You know, they had, if you don't know who Gerald is, Gerald's a man in our church, a faithful member, who a month ago, this Tuesday, had a massive heart attack. And, I mean, terrible. He died, I think, four times. They got him back, and just problem after problem. Went in there Friday morning and had a word of prayer. And Cindy, I talked with her a little bit. Of course, she was still hanging on to hope, you know. But he was struggling, breathing, had fluid in his lungs and different things. And so I left the hospital. Me and my wife was walking down out of the parking lot, and we were just talking about it, how strong Cindy has been, how faithful God has been, how good He's been through this trial. And then Saturday, you know, things didn't look up. And then, of course, this morning, it was 6:15, something like that. I got a phone call, and I knew it wasn't good. I knew it wasn't good. She said, "Preacher, Gerald's heart's racing, and it's fluctuating up and down, and his blood pressure's not doing well, and he's about to code. And preacher, what do I do? Do I leave him on? Do we try to resuscitate him, or do we let him go?" And I said, "Cindy, I don't know what to do. What do you tell somebody?" And I said, "I'll tell you this. I said, if it was my wife, I'd probably try one more time. If it doesn't come back, then I'd let Jesus take him home." That was it this morning. I don't know what time. It was very early. And by 9 o'clock, Gerald had went to be with Jesus. Now listen, I don't tell you this I tell you this. Cindy and I have been talking. I want you to pray for Cindy, but she's doing well. I told her I would tell the church, but it goes exactly with what I was preaching this morning. I don't understand it. It broke my heart. I cried, then shed tears. A little disappointed, you know. I like, man, God, we've seen prayer after prayer after prayer answered. Now hold on a second. God, You told... Why is all this working? Why is all that? I don't understand, God. You know, he was revived four or five times. He was surgeries have went well. Things were, his heart was beating, his kidneys was functioning. Hold on. Why, Lord? Why do You send us out here in the ship and in the middle of the sea? There's a terrible storm that comes up. Why, God, why would You do this to me? Why would You trick us? And could you imagine the disciples in the middle of the sea? Yeah, Jesus abandoned us. Jesus is up there. He knew we were going to get in this. And He said He was going to go pray. And now we're out here in the pulling and rowing and throwing water overboard and trying not to sink. And this storm's going to kill us. Hey, the devil didn't send the storm. I believe when Jesus was praying, Jesus purposely sent them in this storm. And Jesus may indeed do the same thing to you in trouble, in difficulty. Hey, by the way, there's a purpose for it. The purpose is a redemptive purpose. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than your trial. Hey, I told Cindy over the phone. I said, "Cindy, I don't know why Gerald hung on for so long. I don't know why all these miracles, but hold on. Was it for His glory? So that others may see Christ in Cindy?" See, we'll get to something in just a minute, but church, God is speaking. God is speaking to a lot of us in here today that often we just feel like God's picking on us. "Well, I'm just going through this and I just don't understand why." Hey, hold on a second. Maybe look at the big picture. There's a bigger picture. We see the redemptive plan. He was guided by a plan. His plans are not always easy or what we want, but they're always best. His plans are always best. I don't understand it. I may not understand it. I may not agree with it. But it's best. Don't doubt. The second thing we learn here is this. Not only are we guided by His plans, but we're encouraged by His prayers. Notice verse number 46. Stay with me. Verse 46. And when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. That's our Jesus. He went to pray. We're encouraged by His prayer. He leaves the crowd. He goes up into an unspecified mountain. Mark calls it the mountain and prays. And Mark only records three different times that Jesus prays. At the beginning of the Gospel, when His ministry is defined, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Jesus prayed. Here, He is in the middle of the Gospel in Mark chapter number 6, and He goes and He feeds the 5,000, but then He prays. And there, the end of His ministry in Gethsemane, just before He goes to the cross, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Mark chapter 14, what do we learn? We learn that Jesus prayed. Any time that Jesus faced a critical moment in His life, guess what He does? He prays. Jesus was setting the example for you and me. What do we do in critical times? What do we do in critical times? We're supposed to pray, but what do we often do? Worry? Blame God? Pout? Gripe? Worry? Stress out? We do everything, church, but pray. We do everything but depend on God. What's Jesus doing? He's praying. No doubt He prayed for Himself. There's no doubt in my mind He prayed. No doubt He prayed for the crowd from whom He had compassion on, the 5,000 men. And I suspect that He prayed for His disciples because they needed the power of God and they needed to get through this storm. Hey, church, do you have a prayer life at all? Do you have a prayer life at all? Our Savior, God in the flesh, prayed. Who did He pray to? He prayed to God the Father. Oh, it's all through Scriptures that Jesus Christ in the flesh, the Son of God, would go to the Father alone and spend wonderful amount of time in prayer to the Father. Hey, guess what? He wants us to commune with Him. Jesus, and by the way, you know what? He's doing His greatest work today. For 2,000 years, listen to me, for 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has been interceding for you and I.
You're right.
2,000 years! What's Jesus been doing for 2,000 years? He's been seated at the right hand of the Father, but what's He do? He intercedes for you and me. Guess what Jesus has done for Cindy already this morning? He's prayed to the Father. What's Jesus done for our church this morning? Because He knew we had lost a soldier of the cross and He knew that we would be burdened and hurt and we would be just empty and sad. Hey, guess what Jesus has done? He's prayed for you and for me.
Wow.
He prays. Hey, listen, I'm encouraged by His prayers. I'm encouraged by His prayers. You know what you ought to do? You ought to leave this morning encouraged that somebody is praying for you. Somebody is praying. The third thing I come to is this. Not only are we guided by His plans, not only are we encouraged by His prayers in verse number 46, but we're also in verse 47, blessed by His power. We're blessed by His power. I want you to notice these next verses here. This is good. Don't miss it. Here's what He says. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. And notice, and He, who Jesus is, saw them tulling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by, or passed by them. And when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I'm interested in this because Jesus is praying, and I believe when Jesus gets up from His prayer, He looks out there knowing that they're in the middle of the storm. He sees them toiling and rowing. And Jesus walks out to where the disciples are in the midst of the sea. I believe it could have been miles. Jesus walked on the water. You say, why did Jesus walk on the water? To prove that He is God. To prove that He is God. You know what He was doing? Every miracle that Jesus did was not to be the giver, but to point men and women back to Him and for them to realize that He's God. The reason that Jesus did the miracles and performed the miracles was so that others could not see the miracle, but see the Messiah. See that He's God in the flesh. Why did Jesus walk on the water? Could He have not just disappeared there and appeared right there in the boat? Absolutely. God could have done anything that He wanted to do, but guess what He did? He walked on the water. Notice this little phrase right here in verse 48. The end of it. Walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. I think that's interesting. And would have passed by them. So, here's the way some people would read that. Well, Jesus would have just walked right by them and not paid any attention. No, that's not what that means. I like that phrase, pass by them. Because then I went to the Old Testament. And I thought, when did God pass by some people? I started thinking about Exodus. Turn your Bible over to Exodus chapter number 33. I want you to... Moses is on the mountain with God. Moses asks a wonderful question. I love this chapter. I love this story. Moses is talking with God in this cloudy pillar. And Moses, he prays for the continuance of God's presence here in Exodus chapter 33. But I want you to notice in verse number 18... Moses asked God a question. He tells God, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory, God. I want to see you. I want to know what you look like. I want to see who you are. Notice verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Skip down, just look at verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. He said, I'm too holy, Moses. If you see my face, you'll die. No earthly man, no sinner has seen my face and lived. But notice verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. And I thank the Lord for that place. And thou shalt stand upon the rock. Notice verse 22. And it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. He said, you know what, Moses? You can't see my face, but I'm going to let you see the glory. I'm going to let you know. There's a place by me, Moses, and I'm going to put you in the cleft of that rock. I want you to be there. I'm going to hide you. Boy, there's times when I just want to know that God's there and He does something and reminds me about His presence. There's a peace that passeth all understanding in church. I don't care who you are in here this morning. God wants you to know who He is. Oh yeah, one day we'll get to see Him face to face like Fanny Crosby wrote. I shall know Him. She never seen anything on this earth, but she'll know the Savior. And one day we'll see Him face to face. Hey, but you know right now, I just want to pass by. What was God doing? God in here in Exodus 33, He was passing by Moses, and Moses knew that God was there. Hey, what was Jesus doing here going by the disciples there on the Sea of Galilee? What was He doing? Passing by. Well, I believe He was going by those disciples on the sea, And the disciples were in the boat, and they were, and Jesus why would Jesus just pass by them so that they would know that God is in the midst of their trouble? God is in the midst. Hey, that's a spirit. That's a ghost. Who is that? Hey, they should have known. We'll know why they didn't know. They're just like we are. Jesus passed by them and they had no idea. I was thinking about another instance that you don't have to turn there, but the same thing happened to Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah's on the mountain. God, I want to know. And he said in verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passes by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountain. Now Elijah didn't see who God was, but God passed by and there was a great earthquake. Man, rocks started to fall. Hey, let me just say this. We serve a big God. But He's not too big for your problem. Man, things started happening. Elijah knew about God passing. Moses knew about God passing. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was saying, hey, I'm God. Hey, I'm God. I'm God in the flesh and I'm passing by your way. I want you to know that I'm here for you, disciples. I love you. I'm God and I can take care of this storm. What a message for you and I this morning. And we see as the Lord passed by Moses at Sinai and Elijah at Mount Horeb, so now God of the Old Testament, who is Christ, wanted to pass by their way and His disciples so that they would see His glory and believe. Only God can walk on water and only God can feed 5,000 men. Only God can do those things. And Jesus is showing them beyond question who He is. But I want you to notice the last thing we see in this text. I don't know if I'll finish everything I wanted to say this morning, but I believe you get the point. Notice verse number 50. For they all saw Him and were troubled, and immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. He said in verse number 51, and He went up unto them into the ship. So Jesus passed by them and then He speaks to them and He says, hey, it is I. You know what He's saying in the Greek? I am the I Am. He's using that Old Testament name. I Am. In John chapter 8, He says, I am the door. I am the door and I am this. And He said, I am the great I Am. And so He's declaring Himself as the I Am. But notice in verse 51, and He went unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. We are blessed by His person. You know what He did? This is a miraculous event because Jesus is rescuing the disciples from their problem. It was a manifestation of His deity. He now adds those words, I am. He said, be not afraid. It is I. I love that word in the Greek. It's ego, ema, which is returning to say, I am. In John chapter 8, in Exodus chapter number 3, in verse 14, when Moses was at the burning bush, it came out, He said, I am. Hey, He's speaking to him. This is God in the flesh. Let's consider that statement, I am. He's the one that led them across the Red Sea and led the Hebrews out of Egypt across the Red Sea. Jesus not only walks where only God can walk, hey, but He is. He also bears God's name. I am. He's your I am. He's my I am. He's the person, Jesus Christ. He's God in the flesh. We see His deity. Now, I'll tell you, you read in these passages how God can take care of your problems. How God is who He says He is. Let's not doubt Him today. All God was doing in this particular story was God was revealing to these disciples, I am who I say I am. I'm the only man that can walk on the water. Now you say, well, how about Peter in Matthew 14? He walked on the water, but guess what? Well, and by the way, the only man that walked just a little bit, but can I tell you, he sank. Why? Because he's full of sin. He got His eyes on the wind. He got His eyes on the wave. He got out of the boat and He came to where Jesus was. If He would have kept His eyes on Jesus, I believe He would have made it. The only way He would have made it. Last thing is this. Look at verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now here's the reason why these disciples did not realize that God could take care of their storm. That God was who He says He was, because they considered not. We are blessed by His patience. Once again, we see the disciples being exposed for their lack of trust in the Lord, their lack of faith, and the miracle about the loaves. So Mark goes all the way back from verse 52, all the way back to verse number 44. He says the reason is because they saw the feeding of the 5,000. These disciples were the one, when Jesus broke it, that they would put them in the baskets and give. They watched the whole miracle, but yet did not believe that God would take care of their storm. Here's what Mark said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now, church, look at me. If we had witnessed that, oh, we're hard on these disciples. But God's done miracle and miracle after for you and for me, yet we still doubt Him. There's encouragement here. You say, why is there encouragement? Well, first of all, I don't see Jesus scolding these disciples for their lack of faith. I don't see Jesus rebuking them. Hey, there is hope here. You say, why? Because I'll tell you that you and I fit right in here with these disciples. There are times in our lives where we just seen 20,000 people fed. We've seen Jesus do a miracle, but yet we don't think that He can take care of your problem. I'm blessed by His patience. These disciples remained in ignorance and their hearts had become calloused. Believe it or not, I find some encouragement here because they received no rebuke from the Master, the compassionate Shepherd. He doesn't rebuke them. He knows they still have much to learn and much to endure. He will not give up on them. And by the way, He will not give up on you and I. When we have times of doubt, Jesus is the one we should have faith. He's proved Himself over and over again. What's He wanting us to do? He's wanting us to learn some things from these verses right here. Jesus is the one in whom we should have faith. We have faith in His patience that we just seen. We have faith in the person of Christ that we just talked about. We have faith in His prayers. Oh, He's a praying Father. He's a praying God. We see that we're guided by His plans. This morning, if I have a message that has been much needed, not just for the church, but for me personally, that I need to be reminded that right in the middle of the storm, He's faithful. He's God. He's faithful. He'll never let you down. He wasn't going to let these disciples die. He just wanted to prove to them, I am. I am. I'm sure in here this morning there is someone that says, preacher, my problem is magnificent. It's huge. It's a storm. Have you totally given it over to God? Have you given it over to God? Hey, there may be someone in here today that's got a bad doctor's report. Have you given it to God? I can't promise you that God's not going to send you through the struggle of your life. I can't promise you that He's not going to send you through that storm. But what I can promise you is this. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is it that you're going through? I'm not sure, but I know this. He constrained these disciples. They didn't get in that mess. He sent them into that mess to show them, I am who I say I am. Trust me. Trust me. The reason they didn't see it is because their heart was calloused. Maybe that's our problem. You don't see it because your heart's calloused. Here's what I would pray. God, renew in me the right spirit. Renew in me a new heart. Give me compassion like our Savior had. Lord, give me... I doubt. And listen, I doubt. There's times where I go through things. I'm like, Lord, what are You doing? I thought You were going to answer this prayer. Hey, I thought there was... Listen, there's times where I go through those things, but I'm reminded that He's always faithful. and that He's always right.
Yes, sir.
Guess what we got to do? Just keep our eyes on Him.
Amen.
Church, let's just keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's trust Him in those times of doubt and those times of discouragement. Let's trust Him. He is the eye.